This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
The R1 News Headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Monday, the 13th of May. I'm Jemima.
And I'm Yana. In cosmic news, hearing about the 9 out of 9 score for the Aurora Australis from the Aurora Alert NZ page, everyone was out to catch a glimpse of the incredible lights over the weekend. If you're listening in thinking, what did I miss out on? Congratulations, you're really the only person that missed it. The Aurora Australis, the Southern Lights, or most commonly known as the Aurora Borealis, given its commonality to appear in the Northern Hemisphere, is a solar storm caused by the Sun. Since the protective magnetic field around the Earth shields us from most of the energy and small particles that are emitted from the Sun, most of the time we don't notice anything different about our skies. Depending on how strong the amount of solar wind is from the Sun, one kind of solar storm, called the coronal mass ejection, is a huge bubble of electrified gas that travels through space at high speeds. When this type of solar storm interacts with us, some of these small particles of energy travel down magnetic field lines at the North and South Pole and into the Earth's atmosphere. When these particles interact with the gases already present, beautiful light displays light up the sky, with oxygen interactions emitting a green light and nitrogen reactions glowing purple. Thinking that it would be only something you could only ever experience in the most northern parts of Iceland, the fact that us locals in little old Dunedin were getting a chance to see them right outside our flats was unbelievable. One master's student said, "I've been in Dunedin for 5 years and this is the first time it's happened to me." With many people opting to head to St Kilda or even the peninsula to try to get a glimpse at the sky, away from the most of the light pollution, it was funny to hear people saying, "We just popped our heads out of the flat window and got some good pics." Dunners really did put a show on for everyone. But if you thought you were special, tucked away in Otago, getting to see the lights, it was in fact the entirety of Aotearoa, as well as most parts of the globe, that witnessed this strong geomagnetic event. It was an event that really had the entire world looking up at the sky together. So if you really did miss it, don't feel too bad. The last time a solar storm like this happened was only in 2003. However, Otago University physics professor Craig Rogers believes that there may be a chance to see the lights in the coming weeks, since the Sun remains in an active period like this for up to a year. Make sure to keep your eyes peeled on the Aurora Alert NZ page and keep night mode light capturing on your phone to get some breathtaking pictures of the Southern Lights. Later on in the news show, we'll have Adelaide Dunn to talk about their Aurora viewing experience.
Hearing that U-Bar was undergoing maintenance during one of the most pivotal highlights of everyone's week, Pint Night was set to move forward upstairs in the big dining space, Oahi Ora. Based on general word-of-mouth consensus, there was some scepticism in the air about how well the night would kick off being in the open, more relaxed space. It might be that the engine is running low on steam for many students at Otago, but the few who spoke about their night were keen to see if the space would offer more of a chill vibe for sitting and chatting with friends rather than sweating it all up in everybody's business in the usual U-Bar dance floor space. One person said, "I don't have any energy to headbang right at the front of the stage anyway," whilst another was excited that I might be able to have a cheap pint and actually hear the conversation I have with my mates in the Oahi Ora space. As the night kicked off, it was undoubtedly a little slow to start, where at 10 p.m. it seemed like there were only about 50 people in there. However, students still embraced the moment and pushed up to the front and made use of the bigger space to just listen to some good bands play some good music. Although it wasn't the typical experience we know and love, one student said, "We still had fun, had a drink, even though it wasn't giving the dungeon-esque vibes of U-Bar." Sam Gary admitted that he and his bros went and liked it more because the line wasn't so bad and it was less dingy, whereas Molly, amongst many others, thought that it was cool but just not the same vibes, since the best part of Pint Night is how absolutely disgusting it is. It looks like Oahi Ora won't be a crowd favourite for hosting Pint Night anymore, especially since there weren't even any beer taps and you couldn't even get a fucking pint, Molly said. "It was wholesome to see everyone coming together to watch some student bands tear it up," Jordan Irvine said. "If I wanted to go to a decent gig with a nice vibe, I wouldn't go to Pint Night. The real Pint Night includes a sticky dance floor and seeing my friends have a fun time getting fucked to shitty music. That's the point," they said. In essence, Pint Night went forward and it was successful. However, it seems that everyone is keen to see U-Bar reopen and be welcomed back into the basement we call our home.
In international news, flash flooding hit northern parts of Afghanistan over the weekend, with hundreds feared dead. Speaking to the BBC, spokesperson for Afghanistan's Interior Ministry said at least 150 people had died. Meanwhile, Rana Duraz from the United Nations World Food Programme, speaking to Agence France-Presse, says there had been 311 deaths. Duraz also says 2,011 homes had been destroyed and an additional 2,800 houses damaged. Vast areas of farmland have also been submerged in the flooding. Afghanistan has been experiencing unusually heavy rainfall over the last few weeks, with flood-related deaths being reported since mid-April and thousands of people needing humanitarian aid. Experts say Afghanistan is amongst the nations most at risk from the effects of climate change. This year, a relatively dry winter has made it more difficult for the soil to absorb rainfall.
In wholesome national news, tui populations are increasing in Canterbury and short-tailed bats are appearing in the Wellington region. In the Canterbury region, there has been a 200% increase in tui over the past 10 years, figures from the Manaaki Whenua Land Care's 2023 State of New Zealand Garden Birds report show. Canterbury populations of kereru and pī waka waka also increased rapidly. Across the rest of the motu, tui populations also increased, but only by 23%. Speaking to RNZ, senior researcher Angela Brandt said this is not a cause for concern.
Meanwhile up north, short-tailed bats have been recorded in the Wellington region for the first time in 7 years. RNZ reports that bats were recorded, very literally, through acoustic monitoring near the Pākuratahi River over the summer. The short-tailed bat is Aotearoa's most rare animal and is critically endangered. Until now, they have been feared to be extinct in the lower North Island. The recording will inform future monitoring, pest management and dock work in the area. Documents from the upcoming Environment Committee meeting of the Greater Wellington Council show. Speaking to RNZ, Otago University's Ecology and Environmental Management lecturer, Joe Monk, says that bat finding is significant but also super exciting to have a known population in the lower South Island.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Monday the 13th of May. Today's bulletin was written by Yana Gleeson and Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Yana Gleeson and Jemima Lorimer.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News on weekdays.
And to follow up that lovely news about birds, this is Face on a Pony with P. Waka Waka. You're listening to the Radio 1 News.
P. Waka Waka, follow me down. P. Waka Waka, follow me down.
This is the R1 News Hour. I'm your host, Jemima, and you just heard Could I Reset by Neve Strang. And right now, I have our lovely productions manager in the booth with me, Adelaide Dunn, to talk about their experience seeing the Aurora. How are you doing, Adelaide?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming in. I'm really excited to talk to you about this.
Yeah, that's all good.
Because I missed the Aurora myself, so it's very exciting to have someone who had their eyes on it. Can you tell me about your experience?
Yeah, so I saw it twice. For those who've also been listening in on the breakfast show, my apologies, because I also talked about this on breakfast, but so excited to share it again. So I saw it twice. I saw it at the earlier time of the night, between 6:30 and 7:30, and I went up to Highgrove, which is this sort of cul-de-sac, new subdivision-y sort of area up near Cargill's Castle, above St. Clair. And I went there and it was like a lot of pink and green kind of columns happening at that point. And it was amazing how much you could see with the naked eye. I mean, obviously photographs do an amazing job of like brightening up all the colours, but it was still pretty amazing to see so many of those colours in person. I was pretty like surprised by that, which was amazing. Yeah, that was really cool. And then my second experience was between 11 p.m. and midnight, and it changed again. It was more like There was suddenly a whole lot of movement, and there was more sort of swirling and pulsating light sort of coming like through, like weaving through the sky. And my friend who was with me, who spent a lot of time in Scandinavia, said it was better than anything she saw in Scandinavia. So it was pretty amazing to hear. Yeah. It was definitely one of the best experiences of my life. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. When you were up at Cargill's Castle, were there many other people up there having a look as well?
Yeah, so it was a little spot nearby. Cargill's Castle has very high fences now, but the DCC plan on opening it up at some point. That could be a news story for another time. But there's this lovely walkway area out onto the cliffs. And it's sort of the earlier time, there was quite a lot of people around, but when we went the second time around, I think at some point there were one or two other people, but it was just me and my group of friends after a party, and it was really, really special to be able to see it all. Yeah, it was amazing. Definitely saw lots of crowds moving around the place. It kind of felt like New Year's Eve, especially at that earlier time, and people calling their friends and loved ones. And yeah, that was really special to have that shared human connection.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had some fun facts in the office as well, and this morning I was wondering if you could tell our listeners about the fact you have about how scientists were worried about this recent solar flare.
They were, because we had a similar, there was a similar solar flare in the 1850s that was quite a lot bigger, but it was on a similar-ish sort of scale. And the one in the 1850s was so strong that if it happened today, it would take out a lot of our, like, cell phones and microwaves and other, like, connections, and we'd all kind of be, like, out of service for a couple of weeks to a month until everything would get repaired. So, like, a lot of connections would go down, which is kind of crazy. Like, that's just how powerful the solar storm is and the solar energy is as well. I mean, the solar flare is 16 spot sunspot that's caused this solar storm is about 16 times the size of Earth. So what we're experiencing is absolutely huge. But yeah, it's really scary to think that as something as beautiful as the aurora could also cause like a lot of harm. But like, here's hoping it won't do that. But as you would have said, heard in the report earlier, we could get auroras for a while yet, because the solar storm might continue for a while. Hopefully nothing too drastic, but we just get to see beautiful colours.
Yes, indeed. I hope so as well, that we do get to see some more auroras, and I can finally catch one in this current solar storm. But
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Adelaide, today. It's been
That's
so lovely
okay.
to hear about your aurora viewing experience. Yeah. To stay on this theme of space and cosmic energy, we've got a track by the incredible Van Staden and Bomb next. This is Every Star, and this has been the R1 News Hour.
Every star in the sky, every whisper in the night, every second, every time, girl, you're stuck inside.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.